Good to see you. I'm glad you're here.
It's almost 10 in the morning, and a bunch of people are gathered where the Tuthquady clan resided. This is one of several different stops on the walk we're about to go on. Seven of the stops are where Tlingit clans lived, and the last is where a Tlingit man, Chatu, was hanged at Fort Wrangell. Before he turned himself in to stop the bombardment, he stopped at each clan's location to say goodbye. We're retracing his last steps on this walk. We arrive at the second stop, where the Teton clan lived. Oktotsin, Mike Hoyt, is the clan leader of the clan.
When he stopped here, he talked to the clan leader, whose name I now bear, Gush. And Gush brought his hat out, and he brought out other Ut'u to stand before Shkut'u, and that's how I'm feeling today, that we would bring these things out for him if he were here and that his spirit is here.
U are significant tribal artifacts. I catch up with 15-year-old Vincent Cordova as we walk to the next stop. He's from Ketchikan and is holding a peace pipe. It's one of the recent repatriated A'u. It has the Gunakadit, which is a sea monster in Tlingit culture.
I got told to hold the pipe because I am the clan leader of Nandia, the oldest nephew. I'm proud of this, and I'm happy to hold such a artifact.
We visit Kiksadid territory and then head towards Fort Wrangell, which is now the post office. Wrangellite Heidi Armstrong says her parents lived for this day.
As a native child, I'm half native, and my family, you know, the wrongs that were done weren't necessarily done to me, but the body remembers the wrongs that were done to my ancestors.
She says there's a picture from the 1940s in the Wrangell Museum that shows a similar walk along Front Street after they raised Chief Sheikh's house.
It's a historic walk. I've always looked at that and thought, man, I wish I was part of that. Sorry, I'm getting choked up. I never dreamt that I'd be part of such a huge, I don't know, maybe it's huge is the wrong word, but such a meaningful time.
When we reach the last stop at the old Fort Wrangell, clan leader Hoyt says this is where the altercation happened, where the U.S. Army launched bombs into the village, where Shuktu turned himself in, where he was hanged. Hoyt says that before Shuktu walked to the gallows to face his fate, he sang a song. He played the only recording, sung by William Tannery in the 1950s. Tannery was the primary storyteller who was key to passing the bombardment story to future generations. We then walk to the Nolan Center, Wrangell's Civic Center. The U.S. Army's Major General Hilbert of Alaska waits at the door to request permission to be on the tribe's territory.
Good afternoon. I'm Major General Joe Hilbert from Commanding General 11th Airborne Division of the United States Army, Alaska. I live and work on the land of the Na'vi people. I request permission to enter the land of Shtekinkwa.
After accepting the request, the tribe sings a welcome song. All of the clan leaders speak in response to the General Major's request, including Galsgay Kevin Callahan with the Nanya'ai clan.
There really wasn't a handbook out on how this happens. We've done plenty of kuiks, plenty of feasts. We're preparing to raise poles. This was a new thing. This is a great thing. But it was still brand new in new territory.
He says the songs they sing mean something big is happening.
Some of the most beautiful songs are cry songs, but they're songs you don't hear because they're so heavy and they serve a purpose.
Some keynote speakers take their turns speaking out how this event is historical, including U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski.
In order for us to move forward, the wrongs have to be addressed. They have to be acknowledged. And we need that apology for us to move forward and to heal.
Later in the day, Major General Joseph Hilbert officially apologizes to the clans. He assures everyone that the apology was written by human beings with hearts, even though it might sound formal.
It is incredibly a heartfelt apology on behalf of the Department of the Army. To acknowledge the 1869 bombardment of the Lingit village of Kachanak by the United States Army, and to offer an apology to the Lingit people on behalf of the United States Army.
He acknowledges that the U.S. Army's bombardment on Kachanak resulted in death, suffering, and generational trauma on the Tlingit people.
I hope that today represents not an end, but a beginning of healing and a relationship between us going forward.
Not every clan accepted the apology. Some did, but not all. The Tathquiti, Kachadi, Kayashkiritan, and Siknaadi accepted. Akwatsin Maikoit with the Tiatan did not. He says making peace is about rebuilding and restoring a relationship.
I have heard your apology, and I show as much respect as I can. I really appreciate the words that you said in there, that this is not the end, but a beginning. And to that extent, we can't fully accept the apology so much as we see this as the beginning.
Major General Hilbert says there needs to be continued communication to further establish the relationship between the Army and the Tlingit clans.
I think where I was very much encouraged was it was an acknowledgement and not a rejection, and a demonstration of a relationship going forward.
The other clans that did not accept the U.S. Army's apology was the Kiksadi and the Niaya. In total, 4 clans accepted and 3 did not. In Wrangell, I'm Colette Zarnicki.